anointing of the Holy Ghost because of where our platform has taken us with their worship and their singing. Praise God. Amen. We're going to dismiss our children, and our young people are going to be dismissed to go to their classes tonight. Those that are alive and remain will be with us. And we will take a look at Luke 11 and verse number 1. Luke chapter 11 and verse number 1. Praise God. Looks like something came through here with a human vacuum cleaner. Now that we got the junk out, just kidding. All right, Luke 11 and 1. And it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, everybody said a certain place. Now tonight it's Bible study, and I don't want you to have to guess about where I'm going and a punchline and all of that. But tonight we're going to talk about prayer for a little while. Is that okay? Is that a good subject? Came to pass that is as he was praying. Where was he praying? That's so important. Where was he praying? It doesn't give the city. It doesn't give the church. But it gives an absolute certain place. If someone were to ask you, where do you pray each day? I hope that by now you're able to give them that certain place. Praise God. And it cannot, ladies and gentlemen, it cannot just be at church. That's not enough. It is simply not enough. And then when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. All right, so we're going to talk about, and I don't want to just talk about prayer. Chances are everyone within the sound of my voice knows how to pray. I'm just going to give you the definition of prayer. Prayer is this: conversation with God. That's all. That's all it is. You talk to God the same way you would talk to anyone else. Amen. And just put a little emotion with it sometime. Sometimes you'll weep. Sometimes you'll shout. Amen. I've wound up laying just flat out on the carpet, just weeping. And then I've been in here by myself. And if you walked into the door, you'd think I was a nutcase because I was running the aisles all by myself. You get excited. That's what a relationship will do. Amen. You get excited in a relationship. Amen. And some relationships can bring you to tears, and on and on. Today's my anniversary. My wife's too. And Carson and Amanda's. And we've been married 36 years. Wow. I hope one day to be able to turn that around and celebrate 63. I'll be looking much better than I do tonight. Because you'll be needing glasses bad. But it's relationship. And how do you, how do you maintain a relationship? It takes emotion. And it takes putting a little something into it most every day. And it's no different with God. It's a relationship. And so prayer causes us to put a little something into it every day. Praise God. And so let's look to the Lord in prayer and believe God for tonight. Jesus, we thank you for this study. We thank you for this thought. We ask you, Lord, to put it deep in our hearts and our minds. Let us comprehend it. Let us receive it, Lord. It's not a revelation, but Lord, I pray, God, that you would help it to be a great sensation, something, Lord, that we cannot live without, in Jesus' name. Everybody shouted amen. God bless you. You're seated just now. As you know, this past weekend. We were in Houston, Texas there. We did some leadership things, and we did some preaching, and the Lord blessed greatly. And I appreciate you sharing this pulpit ministry with other churches. And I told my wife when we boarded the plane on the tarmac there, I leaned over and told her, I said, I think we did some good. And I really, truly believe we did. Amen. God is good, isn't he? Amen. All right, the spirit of prayer, and so it is. Prayer is conversation with God. But we need to put the emphasis on this, to pray. The disciples asked Jesus to teach them to pray, not how to pray. I caught on to that a long time ago. They weren't asking for instruction. I believe they were asking the Lord, Lord, what makes you want to pray all the time? What makes you go to prayer? Where'd you get the discipline? What's going on? Teach us to pray. I don't know, you know, and I could be wrong. I've certainly been wrong before, but I just caught the word to there, and I know how to pray. And as I said earlier, I believe that most all of us know how to pray, but I want the Lord to teach me to pray. I want to put what I know to use. And we can't do that without prayer. So, and listen, there is absolutely nothing wrong in your prayer asking the Lord to give you a desire to pray and a longing to pray. Amen. If you get all jammed up before services, hey, count those services. Don't let every service jam you up in prayer. Amen. If there's someone that has to miss prayer before service, please let me know. Amen. We'll get you some help. We'll do whatever we've got to do. Amen. We need help in the prayer room. And when we go into the prayer room, this concerns my wife and I. When we go into the prayer room, let's pray. Let's touch God. I made emphasis not long ago. I said, men, I want to hear your voices. Ladies, I want to hear your voices. And I would say it to the young people. We want to hear your voices. Amen. And you did good after that. I asked it. You brought it. And you did really good. And now it's starting to phase down again. And prayer room's starting to turn into a fellowship hall. Listen, let's morph that place into a prayer room when it needs to be a prayer room. Let's make it a fellowship hall when it ought to be a fellowship hall. Is that a good idea? Amen. Ushers, amen. Lead us into prayer. Pastor, lead us into prayer. And leadership, lead us into prayer. Let's hear your voices. Let's cry out to God and reach out to the Lord. And perhaps there's some things that we can do in the future that will create a greater atmosphere before service. And I'll work on that. I'll do my best. Amen. I want to do whatever I can do to present a place for you that is conducive to making contact with Jesus Christ. Because I'm telling you, there is nothing, 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 nothing without prayer. There is nothing without prayer. And so we need that. Amen. Let's look at our 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14. Amen. What would the subject of prayer be without this? 2 Chronicles 7, 14. Now, Jay, I was just bragging on you about how fast you were. If my people, now are his people here? Somebody shout yes. Which are called by my name. Do we believe in that name? Shout yes. Shall humble themselves. This is something that you've got to do for yourself. Shall humble themselves and, somebody shout it, pray. Seek my face. Turn from their wicked ways. Then, what's going to happen? I'll hear you from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Amen. That's a promise from God. Amen. If we would oblige ourselves to prayer. Amen. And so I'm asking you and I'm challenging myself to not jam the blessing. Some of us could use a blessing here tonight. I'm not just talking about more money on the job. That can happen too. I'm not just talking about finances or or just a healing. But some of us, you know, our minds are under attack. Our hearts are under attack. Our spirits, the flesh perhaps, whatever it is, amen. And we could use a blessing from the Lord. Listen, deliverance can be a blessing. Victory is a blessing. Anointing from God and dominion, that's a blessing. How many of you could use a little more of that? And I promise you, if you'll charge that certain place, your certain place, amen, then I promise you, victory will come, dominion will come, overcoming will come, power and authority will come in the name of Jesus. Amen. So don't jam the blessing by being prayerless. Open those areas that perhaps have been clogged a little while and let the Spirit flow through. It's one thing for a building to be air-conditioned, but we need this building to stay prayer-conditioned. Amen. I know that's simple, and it may sound funny, but think about it. Doesn't it make sense? Praise God. We've got the cooler mitts. We've got great seating, carpet, the whole nine yards. This is a good-looking church. Amen. And I'll be honest with you, it even looks better on the net when you're out of town and looking at service. Have you ever done that? Have you seen it? Amen. It's beautiful in here. And it's kind of surprising how good it looks. And I thank God for that. And I thank the Lord for all that. That's condition. The conditions look good. Amen. But I want it prayer conditioned. I want people to step through the door and feel conviction instantly, even without the preaching. I want to see people just fall and receive the Holy Ghost in the foyer, in our Sunday school. I would love to see children hear about children receiving the Holy Ghost all of the time, slain in the Spirit, knocked out in the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. If any hen can do it, God can too. Praise the Lord. Amen. I just believe the Spirit of the Lord can move anytime upon anybody if the premises is prayer conditioned. Amen. And so let's believe the Lord for that. And then number one, truth. Number two, in prayer. Truth and prayer are under attack. Folks, you don't have to travel very far to understand that truth is under attack. The apostolic church is under attack. And prayer is under attack. And if we just treat it nonchalantly, then both truth and prayer will go right out the window, because that's something that we must treasure. If we don't treasure it, then the Lord will give it to someone else. I want to treasure it, and I want to nurture it, and I want to grow it. Amen? Let's look at Psalms 145 and verse number 18. Let's find out where the Lord is. Where is the Lord? The Lord is nigh or near unto all them that call upon him, to all that call upon him in truth. So that's why the enemy wants to take away the truth, and he wants to take away the prayer. Maybe I should say prayer first and then truth, because if he takes your prayer, he's going to get your truth. Because he's going to fill you with every kind of wind of doctrine that blows, and it's going to wipe out your truth because your prayer is already gone. But if we can just learn to pray, we will hold on to the revelation of apostolic truth. Praise God. And the enemy wants those two facets in our lives because the Lord is near. Now, how many of you, seriously, it is very, very important to you for the Lord to be close to you. Are we still of the opinion that without Jesus we are absolutely nothing? Without him we will have nothing. Without him we'll never be anything. Without him it just does not work without him. Amen. And so it is. The Lord's a greater place when it operates under the authority and the dominion of the Holy Ghost. Praise God. I thought of something in our travels the other day, and and I put it on paper here today, but rocks sit unmoved by the swift tides. You've seen it. I've seen it. You know, during high tide, you're able to say, there's a rock right there. And someone says, are you sure? You say, yeah, wait till low tide. And low tide comes, and sure enough, there's a big rock sitting right there. The tides don't phase it. Incoming, outgoing, it doesn't phase it. The swiftness of the current does not phase it. So rocks sit unmoved by the swift tides, while pebbles are forever rolled around, even though there are those that call them rocks. Think deep with me now. Amen. You're going to make me say something like, don't be as the charismatic pebbles tossed by every wind and doctrine that blows. Real rocks are not this one day and that the next day. Real rocks are unmoved. I'm just saying, please don't call it a cornerstone when it moves every direction whenever anybody needs it to move. A cornerstone is just that. It sits right there in the corner. It's a stone, and it don't move. I want to be a cornerstone. Jesus Christ is the cornerstone. And on Christ, the solid rock, I stand. All of the ground is sinking sand. On Christ, the solid rock, I stand. And the only way that we'll leave our footprints on the cornerstone from here till the rapture takes place is to do it through prayer. Amen. Praise God. Now, you know, you don't have to raise your hand, but I'm just going to bring it to your attention. How many of you have felt depression since you've gotten in the church? I like what one joke. It was a joke. The preacher really didn't mean it. He was a comedian, and it wasn't me. And, you know, someone asked kind of a question. I think it was, have you ever felt like leaving the city? And he said, how many Mondays are there? Of course, he was just joking. But when I say, how many of you have ever felt depressed? We could probably, every one of us, raise our hands. Because we have been in those low places. We have bottomed out. And we've been in those. But, and I'm talking about since the church, since the Holy Ghost, since baptism, and since all of that. Amen. Let's look at 1 John 4:1. 1 John 4:1. Here's what we got to do. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God. Because many false prophets are going out into the world. I'm just going to tell you, you do not have to live in depression. You don't have to live in oppression, and you certainly don't have to live in demon possession. You don't have to live in sickness, and you don't have to live in disease. I know there's all kind of medication doctors will give you, saying there's nothing we can do, but I can give you this medication to help tide you over. We don't have to be tided over, amen, or held over, or accommodate our disease with a medication, amen. Not when I have prayer. Not when I have access to the throne of God. Amen. Now, he may not come when I need him, but he'll be there right on time. Listen, I'm not talking about trying prayer. Don't be coming to me and say, Pastor, that was a good Bible study tonight, but I'll tell you something. I've tried that prayer stuff. You don't try prayer. You live prayer. Because it might, the answer may not come 5 days. It may not come in 5 minutes. It may not come. This is not a sitcom we're living right here. Amen. You got to stay with this more than 30 minutes. Praise the Lord. It may come 5 years from now, but some things are worth waiting for. Amen. We got a report this week from, I think it was Stacy Drake, that her diabetes is slowly dissipating. And the Lord's moving on her body. And her pancreas is beginning to make more of that stuff it's supposed to make for insulin. For, you know, I'm a physician. I know, yeah. And she's doing much. Hey, God did that. But she's been a diabetic for a long, long time. What if she had come by a year ago and said, I tried that prayer and it don't work? She'd still be in the same condition. But because you keep on keeping on, the Lord comes around when it's time for him to come around. And there he is, meeting right there with you. Amen. And so prayer is not something you try. Prayer is something that you live. Amen. You get up And you say, thank the Lord for another day that I had the opportunity to pray. Amen. And if the answer didn't come, then go right back to that certain place again the next day. Amen. The Bible says, pray for wisdom, and wisdom will come, but it will not come overnight. A revelation came to me while I was preaching in Houston. I didn't have it in my notes or anything, and it just came to my mind. Spirit spoke, I believe. And you know how you have elevators, and they're very convenient, aren't they? But what do they tell you to do when there's a fire? When you need the things the most, when you got to get out of there fast. It says, when there's a fire, please do not use the elevator. I'm just going to tell you, if it's a real church, there's a real fire in that church. And you may not get where you're going with an elevator. If there's a fire, then you have to use the steps. And so some things are going to only come step by step, one step at a time. Amen. Because the fire is falling. But once you get there, you'll have it and you will never lose it. But the main thing to do is be there when the Lord is giving it out. When the Lord is pouring it out, be there. Amen. And so when the fire falls, we want the fire to fall. Am I correct? And there's just no quick way to get where we need to get with God, because there's a growing process. Amen. And so it is through prayer, it takes us one step at a time to the dimensions that we need to go in the Lord. Amen. And I'm going to tell you something. We've got some guests here. We've got some visitors, and we got some folks winging their way back, and that is so beautiful. I'm just going to go beyond that and say that's just gorgeous. Hallelujah. But let me challenge you. Amen. You're not going to get back where you ever it was you were, and you're not going to get where a lot of other folks are overnight. Let me tell you what you do. You take one step at a time, and let us walk with you. And you always know this, that there's going to be folks behind you, there's going to be folks ahead of you, and there's going to be some folks right beside you. And so you got friends and family and people that love you all the way around you. You just take one step at a time. Somebody shout, God is merciful. And let God have mercy on you, and let God strengthen you one day at a time, one victory at a time, and one prayer at a time. The very first thing I would admonish you to do is find that certain place. You see, I'm not talking about how tonight. I'm trying to challenge you to pray. And so I'm talking about the spirit of prayer. And I'll tell you something else. Amen. I don't care how many evangelists there are on television. I don't care how many pastors there are on television. I don't care how great they preach or how good everybody sings. There is nothing like being in a real church. And there's nothing like being in a real prayer room. There is nothing like being with your brothers and your sisters when they're calling on the name of the Lord. Yes, there are those times when we've got to be in our personal certain place. And we need to be there more so than we are here. Because we're at home and every other place more than we are here. But when we're here and we're together calling on the name of the Lord, there is nothing that can replace that by yourself. You could never replace what God does in that atmosphere by yourself. So we need that alone time. We need that personal time in that certain place. But ladies and gentlemen, don't you ever forget, I need you. And you need me, and we need one another. Amen. It strengthens me to hear you call on the name of Jesus. And every now and then I hear somebody say, God bless my pastor. I'm telling you right now, you can't even fathom what that does for me. I don't have mom and dad praying for me. I don't have apostolic lineage calling on the name of the Lord for me. Amen. If you don't do it, nobody's doing it that much. I'm just telling you right now. And so when I hear my name come out of your head, amen, and I'll tell you something else. When you're calling on my name, that challenges me to call on your name. And so it's constantly going back and forth, back and forth. And we're being a strength to one another all of the time. You can't get that in a private prayer closet. So there's some things you can't get there. And then there's some things you can't get when you're all together, right? Amen. When you're alone with somebody, that gives time for private conversation. And believe me, trust me, we need private conversation with God. And when we have that, we need to come honest with ourselves. Tell God what we are. Tell Him what we need. Tell Him who He is. Amen. And make some commitments to Him. And love on Him. Care about Him. Let Him know how big He is, how great He is, how wonderful He is. And then when you come to church, be an inspiration to someone else that's learning how to pray and how to reach out to God and worship the Lord. Is that good? Amen. Praise God. And so let's take on the challenge to draw the Lord nigh unto us. Amen. So we call on Him in prayer and in truth. How many, you know, I mean, I just, how many of you believe what the preacher's talking about tonight? How many of you would love to be a greater prayer warrior? You and I know we go to war on our knees, and so let's continue to fight the good fight of faith. Praise God. Don't give up by standing up. Amen. Let's look at Matthew 7, verses 7 through 11. Praise God. Let me show you what you get when you pray. Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone, boy, I love that. There again, God is no respecter of persons. It doesn't matter how great we feel that someone is. You know, I mean, we just may feel like there's nobody in the world as spiritual as Lee Stone King or Wayne Huntley or whoever we think. But look at this. Everyone that asketh, receiveth. Amen? Amen. Hey, we can use another Lee Stone King. We can use another powerful lady and woman of God and on, young people that turned their schools upside down and so forth. Praise the Lord. And so if you ask, you're going to receive. So there's something that I've got to do before I receive. And what is that? Ask. How many times do I ask? Somebody shout the rest of my life. Because prayer is not something you say. Somebody says, say a prayer. No, I don't say a prayer. I need to be a prayer. A person that prays. And when I am, then I will receive. And he that seeketh, you look for it through prayer and diligence in the word of God and in the house of God, and you're going to find it. And to him that knocks, it shall be open. Ever been confused about something? And stayed confused about that one particular something for a long time? And then all of a sudden somebody comes by and preaches it, or you hear somebody pray it, or someone sings it in a song, or it just comes to you through the word of God, and you get it. Because you refused to stop knocking. You refused to stop knocking. What man is there of you whom, if his son asked for bread, would he give him a stone? The Lord is putting himself into the position of a father and a little child. And he's telling you, hey, you just ask me for it, I'll give it to you. I'm your father. I love you. Ask for bread. I'm not going to give you a stone. Trust me. Just begin to pray and have confidence in me and see if I won't work it out. That's what he's saying. Or if he asks a fish, will he give him a serpent? Everybody shout no. If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children. In other words, men, women out there in the world, they know how to raise their children up and they know how to be good to their kids. How much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that simply... is take the time each day to ask. Amen. Now, every one of us are so much more than we are right now. Folks, I cannot tell you how desperate we are for great leadership. We are desperate at Landmark for great leadership. Amen. I'm not saying that the leadership we have is defaulted. They're growing, and they're doing great. And they're going to be greater next year than they were this year. And this is going to be a great year. I'm not saying you need to take anybody's place. We need to add. We need to multiply. Amen. So that we can grow this thing into what God needs it to be. And so, what would happen if you would go to prayer and begin to ask God every day, every day, asking God every day, asking God, Lord, make me a better man, or make yourself a better woman, or make yourself a better young person. I wonder what God would do after a while. What would God begin to do? Once you showed him that you're going to be consistent, once you showed him that you're real and that you really mean business about this, and that you're not just convicted because the preacher talked about it last night. Amen. This is your day, and then 6 months later it'd be your next day. No, no, no. Amen. What would it be if you got in the habit of asking God to make you a greater person and to be used of the Lord? A greater person and to be used of God. What is going to happen? Is he going to give you a stone? Is he going to give you a serpent? Absolutely not. He's going to meet that need. Praise God. And so that's what we want him to do. Am I right? Praise God. God is not evil, and he's not willing that any should perish. He just has to have some of just a little bit of your time. He needs some time. You've got to give it some time. Luke 18, 1 through 7. Are we doing okay? Luke 18, 1 through 7. He spake a parable unto them to this end. Does anybody know what a parable is? Do we know what a parable is? It's an earthly story with a spiritual meaning. Okay? And he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. Now, this doesn't mean that if you don't pray, you're going to be passing out all the time. But the word faint here means give up. Pray always without giving up. Saying, there was in a city a judge, and he feared not God. He wasn't afraid of God. Turn to your neighbor and say, he didn't fear God. And he didn't fear man. He didn't have any regard for man. He wasn't afraid of anything. And there was a widow in that city. Okay? So she was all alone. She was by herself. One woman. And she came unto him saying, avenge me of mine adversary. I want you to do something about my enemy. He wouldn't do it for a while. But afterward he said within himself, though I fear not God, and I have not one regard for man, I'm not afraid of anything, yet this widow is getting on my nerves. I am going to avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. And the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge saith. And shall not God avenge his own elect? I mean, if this guy did it for a widow that was just getting on his nerves, I got a feeling prayer doesn't get on God's nerves. Amen. So he said, and shall not God avenge his own elect, the ones that he has chosen, the ones that he has drawn, the ones that his fingertip is upon, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them. Now catch that last part. Listen, it may not happen overnight. He may bear long with you. Amen. Hey, but you bear long with him. What would be wrong with you telling the Lord at your prayer time tomorrow, okay, Lord, I'm going to do this thing. And I need some things. And I love you. You're the best thing that's ever happened to me. And if this doesn't happen, it's not from you. If what I need doesn't come from you, it's not coming at all. And so I've got faith in you, and I'm going to begin to pray about it, seek God about it. Amen. And when it comes, I'm going to rejoice. But know this, I don't care how long it takes, I'm going to be right here asking you for it. I'm going to be right here calling on the name. But boy, I felt faith in that. Because that's the way it works. How many of you have had prayer answered instantly? I have. How many of you have had prayer answered and it wasn't so instantly? I have too. Amen. I'll never forget going through cancer and treatments and all of that, the 40 days of all of that treatment and all that gook and all of that. Oh, it was just, but I went through it and my body's been healed. I don't even take medication because of cancer and stuff. But what God did to me is greater than what the Lord did for me. Does that make sense? If it doesn't, you've never been there. But I'm just telling you right now, amen. Sometimes the Lord takes time because there's something that consistent prayer is going to do for you. And then by the time He does what you need Him to do to you, both things are accomplished. He did great things for you, and He did great things to you. Let's just raise our hands and say, Lord, I want that. I want that. I need that. I cry out for that in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen. I got to move along here. Amen. So, Romans chapter 8, verse 26. Romans 8, 26. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. Now, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. Sometimes we really don't know what we need, but God does. And that's what consistent prayer will do. It will draw Him to take care of the needs that you were not even aware of. And so, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Amen. Listen. If you've been in a church a while, amen, then you need to get into some groaning. Now, don't make yourself groan. Don't just, oh, God. I'm just get into some intercessory prayer that will make your prayer go deep. Go deep. Praise the Lord. Now, there's nothing wrong with lighthearted conversation with God. Amen. I talk to God just like I'm talking to you right now. Lord, what a day. Man, it's gorgeous out here. Look at the sun you've created. Look at the leaves on the trees. This is some beautiful. I mean, it don't have to be moaning and groaning. Oh, God, I thank You for the sun. I thank You for the leaves. I thank You. Look how green that leaf is. He's going to be going, relationship. It's relationship. It's not same thing every time. Right? Amen. We can go different ways in prayer and all of that. But I'm telling you, occasionally we need to let the Lord so get us until we're not even speaking English and we're not even speaking in tongues. It's just moanings and groanings before the Lord because we feel the wheels, the spirit wheels, the mechanisms. I wish I could paint you a picture about what I'm seeing right now, but we feel that all clicking and working and all going together smoothly as we're groaning and moaning and reaching out to God in the Spirit, rocking back and forth, not even aware what time it is or how long we've been there doing that, because the Spirit was doing something for us that we didn't even know we needed. Isn't that beautiful? That's the way God works. And we've got to give Him that time. It's not every day. And you don't know the day that it's going to happen. So get in there every day. Because there's that day is coming. There's going to be that day you're going to shout. That day that you're going to pout. And the Lord's going to wipe your tears. He's going to hug on you. And there's going to be those days that you're going to weep. And those days that moanings and groanings and speaking in tongues and all that. Because it's a relationship. And you're tagging in each day. Amen. Praise God. And so I want us to be consumed with refreshing and renewing and establishing our ways with God. I want us consumed with the spirit of prayer. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm serious. Ladies, during the day, you're busy, I know, and doing great things and preparing the home and keeping the home. And husbands are so grateful and And if you're not, you need to get that way fast and quick and in a hurry. Amen. And remember birthdays and anniversaries. And you're never married too long not to buy a simple card and say a great word, a sweet word. Whoa. Amen. And on and on. But it's relationship. And you got to be consumed by it. And you've got to stay that way. And so, you know, just drop what you're doing. Stop. I couldn't do it today. I'm too busy, but I promise I'll get to it tomorrow. Tomorrow's prayer is for tomorrow. Today's prayer is for today. If you don't pray today, you missed it. You missed it. How many things are we missing? Because there's so many days that get by. Am I right? So, amen. Prayer, 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 prayer. The spirit of prayer has awakened me from sleep before. Has it ever done that to you? Amen. Wave at me if you've ever awakened from sleep and had to go to the Lord in prayer. Absolutely. Amen. And I didn't need warm milk. And Lord, warm milk would make me throw up, I think. I didn't need hot tea I needed about 30 minutes with the Lord, or maybe an hour or so, whatever, 15 minutes or an hour, 2 hours. Amen. I didn't need a volume. I need volume from God in a noisy world. I need to hear God. Amen. The spirit of prayer has pulled me off the road before, and maybe just stop right there and pray for a little while. Touch God. Relationship will do that. All of a sudden you'll be driving along, everything else on your mind, and then all of a sudden Jesus just shows up and you just stop everything you're doing and give him a little time. My last point is, how much should I pray? How much should I pray? Amen. 1 Thessalonians 5 and 17. 1 Thessalonians 5 and 17. Pray without ceasing. Now, I know we can't pray 24 hours a day, but it can be on our mind all of the time. I learned this, how to do this. I learned so much stuff through evangelizing because I didn't have the opportunity for Bible college and didn't have, like I said, I didn't grow up in a family that was apostolic and all that. But I learned a lot from great men that I preached for through evangelizing and helping them in youth ministries and things of that nature. And a lot of the men I would hang around with and preach for all through the day, every now and then you'd hear them, and they'd just say out loud, "Oh, hallelujah." You know, if they were not praying, it was on their mind. You know, and you'd just be walking through Walmart talking about hunting stuff, and they'd say, "Oh, thank you, Jesus." Well, when I'd get somewhere else away from them, I'd be in Walmart and I'd say, "Oh, thank you, Jesus." I'd try it too, you know. I mean, if they can do it, I can do it. And so you get into the habit of thanking Jesus and being grateful to the Lord is constantly on your mind. And that's prayer. That's prayer. Amen. And you can do that without, you can have Jesus on your mind and speak to him in your mind. You don't even have to say it with your lips all the time. But it can be in your mind. That's prayer. That's communication with God. That's keeping it open. Am I making sense? Amen. And so, you know, the spirit of prayer, praise God. How much should I pray? And I will say this about how long I should pray. When I pray until I touch God. And when you get to praying long enough and consistent enough, you will know when you touch God. And I don't stop praying until I have touched God. And I know that God has touched me. That's just what I do. Amen. And sometimes it's long, and sometimes it is instantly when I go into the Lord and touch him. Amen. So, you can stay in the spirit of prayer continually, and you can have that mindset about prayer. Acts 2, they had revival because the Bible said they, are you ready for this world-renowned revelation? They had revival, Brother Billy, because they continued. They continued. They never stopped. They never stopped praying. They never stopped going house to house. They never stopped baptizing. They never stopped praying them through. They never stopped the healings, the signs, and the wonders. And that's why they had great revival in the book of Acts, because the Bible says they continued. Amen. 1 Timothy 2 and 8. 1 Timothy 2 and 8. I've taught you this in many other situations. I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and without doubting. Amen. Don't raise your hands and call on the name of the Lord to meet a need, and you're already thinking that he's not going to do it. Guess what? As your faith is, so be it. If you have the faith that he's not going to do it, guess what's going to happen? But if you have the faith that is, keep bagging your prayer up and bottling your tears up and see what God does for you. Amen. Pray everywhere. The Bible said with holy hands, without wrath. Don't doubt it. Amen. Praise God. And so be honest in prayer. There may be some things you need a lot worse than financial blessing or physical blessing. You may be going through a time in your life that there's such a lack of concern. There's a spirit of I don't care in your spirit. You gotta pray about that. You gotta talk to God about that, because you could wind up in hell if you nurtured that. Amen. No burden for the lost. Self-righteousness. Unfaithful. Family or the church. Unthankful. Unholy. All of these are a result of prayerlessness. Somebody said, well, man, they sure left the church quick. No, they didn't. Somewhere way back, they forgot prayer. They forgot to call on the name of the Lord. They forgot that certain place, and then it just all of a sudden, they shut the door, and the relationship was over until there was an awakening. We need to bring ourselves closer to the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and we're going to do that through prayer. All right, Matthew 6:33. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and then all this other stuff shall be added unto you. Amen. Listen, I've been in this too long. I know what I'm saying. Show me a soul winner. Show me a person that prays, and show me a person that is faithful to the church. And I'll show you a person that has a nice house. I'll show you a person that has a good car to drive. And I'll show you a person that has their house in order. But show me somebody that don't do these three things, and I'll show you absolute chaos, negativity, depression, and all. I can go on and on, but I don't even like to talk about it. But amen. Just show me someone that is faithful. Show me someone that is consistent, their prayer, and I'll show you somebody that will always have a good place to live. They'll always have food on their table, and they will always have something good to drive and plenty of gas to put in it. They never had to ask for a car. They never had to ask for a place to live. Amen, because they are too busy seeking his righteousness and the kingdom of God and the goodness of the Lord. Amen. So, what is the kingdom of God? Romans 14:17. For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy. Where? In the Holy Ghost. If you love the Holy Ghost, entertain your Holy Ghost every day in that certain place. Amen. Praise God. And so it is. Look at verse 18. For he that in these things serves Christ is acceptable to God and approved of men. You will be accepted of God and you will be approved of men. Amen. You want friends? Get yourself a certain place and be accepted of God. And he'll see to it that you're respected and appreciated. Let's stand together. Praise God. Can I share with you your approach to prayer? Please, don't bombard God with a grocery list or a need list before you let him know how much you appreciate him. So when you go to God in prayer, set time aside and begin with worship and begin with praise. And then after you've worshiped and you've praised, go into repentance. Ask the Lord to forgive you of your sins. But I haven't sinned. That's the one that needs to ask for repentance. Go to God in repentance just in case you have done something, because you want to be sure. Amen. Worship, repentance. Then make your petition known. Let God know what you think you need. Amen. And then before you leave, put some thanksgiving on it and worship him again. Don't ever go into prayer or leave prayer without worshiping the Lord. What kind of prayer gets the job done? James 5:16 says, it matters who prays and how fervently the prayer is made. Amen. Fervent prayer. Strong prayer. Prayer that does violence. Prayer that rips things up, tears things apart. Jesus, the most righteous of us all, prayed for us in the hour of his greatest passion. Listen, this is what we are. We are the fruit of Jesus' worst day. We're the fruit of his greatest travail. We are what bloomed and blossomed because of the worst day he ever had in his life. I know it's hard to pray, and it may be your worst day that day. But I promise you, if you'll go to God in prayer, great things will begin to bloom and blossom. On your worst day, some of the greatest things could take place through the Spirit of prayer. Prayer moves the arm that moves the world. Much prayer, much power. Little prayer, little power. No prayer, no power. Nothing lies beyond the reach of prayer except that which lies outside the will of God. And that's certainly not where I want to be. I know it's not New Year's, but could we just close our eyes and lift our hands and make some commitments to the Lord? Could somebody just tell him, I'm going to find that certain place, and that's going to be our place, Lord.